You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Traditional Sermon Series, led by Reverend Burt Palmer in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
So the scripture is probably a very familiar one. You've probably heard it many times before. I invite you to follow along with me, though, and imagine what it must have been like years ago when this scripture was reality. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who is pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated as you are. Let us pray together. May your Spirit, O God, stand between me and your people so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together will be shaped, formed, and molded into the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather, in whose name we pray, and in whose name we will leave this place tonight and allow the light of Christ to shine brightly through our hearts. And all of God's people did say, Amen. I think probably the story is one you're familiar with. We've tried everything we can today to bring it to life. At the 5 o'clock service, Harold the Angel made a cameo appearance, a.k.a. Chris. I was given the privilege of being a shepherd, and I'm so thankful that there was a shepherd uniform that actually fit, or costume that actually fit, that I could get off and on. And while the scriptures don't name the shepherd, I went ahead and gave the shepherd a name, Bertavius. It sounded good. It's not in scripture, so I can really do what I want to with that. At the 11 o'clock service this morning with all the kids, they had the little tongue depressors and different animals, the ways to animate what was going on. There were at those services at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., even at 7 p.m., even at 9 p.m., there were kids crawling in, about, and around the sounds of children. The laughter was beautiful. And there's times when we read this story, and I think we lean too much into that, what I'll sort of call the softness of the story. Yes, it's transformative. God breaks in the story of humanity. You've got these amazing, majestic, angelic visitors. We have Mary pondering things, Joseph thinking he's going to do something, God visiting him at night in a dream, the shepherds being notified at night in fields, and all these dramatic pieces. But we have a tendency, even as we sing Silent Night in a little bit, to domesticate this most incredible event in human history, that God breaks into the story of humanity in the form of a child in such unlikely characters. It's of this sometimes that we, it's like this. Have you ever, held a newborn baby after they've kind of had their little baby bath with the, baby no tears shampoo stuff, and they just, smell, so innocent, right? Just, now, there's other times babies don't smell so innocent, right? That's proof of original sin, I think, but we tend to domesticate, and we make it such a sweet and almost a non-threatening story. The reality is, it's the most amazing thing that happened, that God is breaking into human history. I got to thinking about all this and wondering, do we really understand what Mary was holding? No, I'm not talking about Mary, did you know? Because just the theology of that song, while it's beautiful, makes me kind of laugh each time. It's like, well, yeah, she knew. She had the angelic visitor. She's pondering in her heart. Yes, she knew. She's actually the only one who's really pondering things. She's wondering where this is going. You know the story. Shepherds at the field. And when Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem, there's no room for them in the inn, right? And then in a few days, the wise and are going to show up. My mother loves to say that if they should have been the wise women, they would have brought more practical gifts, like a casserole dish, some diapers, and baby formula. You know the story. But does the story really know you and me? Have we really let it seep into our being? I got to thinking as I was preparing for this, and this may be the oddest sermon on Christmas Eve that you've heard, but maybe you won't forget it. I want to kind of fast forward a bit. As we think about this one that's cradled in Mary's arms, Emmanuel, God with us, light of the world. I mean, John says the light has come into the world and the darkness cannot overcome it. We read in Luke chapter 8 that when Jesus is in his ministry, he's along the seashore of Galilee and he encounters the Gerasonian demoniac, a man who was possessed by legion. Many scholars say legion because that was a reference to the Roman legion, these demons that possessed this man. He lived in the caves. He lived in darkness. And it doesn't say in the text that the man who was possessed was seeking Jesus. It says that Jesus found the man who lived in the caves. And there's this one point in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, where it says that legion begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. The demons that possessed the man said, don't send us into this place of darkness. And yet they were darkness. And I couple that idea with this idea that the demonic powers of this world, they recognize who this child is. I mean, Herod knew. Herod was out to get the child. Thank goodness the wise men went back by another route or another road. It's the same Jesus who, in the Gospel of Mark's account, in just the first chapter, Jesus is barely past getting out of the temptations in the wilderness, as Mark tells us, that he encounters a man with leprosy who comes to him and he says, if you are willing, you can make me whole. You can make me clean. And Jesus was filled with compassion. And he reached out and he touched the man. And he said, I'm willing. Be clean. You see, the one that Mary cradled is the one that will get the demons on their knees to beg and bring the people who we have ostracized into the presence of Christ. This is the one who is the light of the world. This imagery that we know quite well. We'll dim the lights in a little bit. It's going to be that wonderful feeling of singing Silent Night. We'll remind you, don't drip wax everywhere, even though you're the last ones here tonight. You know, hold your candle up right if it's got a flame. Tilt your unlighted candle. Lights will go down. Michael will dim those, and we'll all sing Silent Night, Holy Night. It'll feel really beautiful and nice. But we miss what we're doing. When we take the light of Christ, When Chris comes up, because I forgot my candle in the front row, and he rings up our candles, and we take the Christ candle light and we share it with the world, it's not just sort of a touchy-feely kind of moment. It's a radical thing that we proclaim that God has come into the world. He is the light of the world in Christ, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I can remember in my high school years being in a dark place, in a dark time. Now, I know sometimes when I look back now, I'm over 50, so when I look back now, I almost laugh. It wasn't that tragic. I mean, but when you're in high school, it is, because that is your life at that time. And I remember as a high schooler, we would always hang out in certain places that probably hadn't changed, and I was just decided to isolate myself, go have a good old-fashioned male pity party, as my mother would call it. You know, soak myself in my own sadness. And we had a youth volunteer named Rick Schleider, and Rick found me. Rick knew where I was. Now, I don't remember a word that Rick said that night that he found me, but you know what I remember? When I was in the dark and I was alone and I was struggling, Rick found me. Rick found me. As I think back about those times in life, there's times when we don't have to get the demons to get on their knees. We just have to be the light of Christ in the world. We have to be willing to bring our own lives into the presence of Christ. And the really cool thing about this is, you never have to beg God for anything. See, the demons do the begging. The followers do the asking. You don't have to beg God for anything. You just ask. God, if you're willing, can you make me clean? Can you make me whole? Right there in the text. Jesus says, yeah, I'm willing. What about you? Are you willing to bring that place where you are in those dark corners of your life? I pray that this is not going to be just another silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright. And it's just let's just not let it be another ordinary Christmas. Let's let the light of Christ shine in our hearts, in our lives, pulling us out of those places where we're sort of stumbling around in darkness. Maybe it's a dark habit. Maybe it's a dark behavior. Maybe it's the dark memories that you've got. Maybe it's just a dark place. Maybe it's things that you know you need to change and you're looking for that real opportunity to draw a line in the sand and say, I know I need to handle this, but I'm going to do it later. No, you do it today. You be the child that God has created you to be. You step up. You make the demons in life beg the Lord of your life to go away. This is the kind of love that comes to you and me tonight, cradled in Mary's arms, the one who would grow and make demons get on their knees and restore people to wholeness of life. And if he's raised Jesus from the dead and Jesus' ministry can do these things, then there's really nothing that God can't do in your life. So as you come tonight, you come to this table of communion. You come to receive the bread of life. The bread of life is the one who was born in Bethlehem. And did you know that the word Bethlehem means house of bread? How cool is it that God just sets this stage for us? Let's don't miss the extraordinary love present in this place, present at this time, available to you and me to light the dark corners of our lives.